Roundtable Road Trip. We are broadcasting live in Pelham. Discover Pelham, a caring, active, and sustainable community, having some great conversations here at Old Pelham Town Hall. And welcoming back to the Roundtable Road Trip, Pelham Fire Chief Bob Limburner. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Well, thanks for coming back. And you've brought a colleague with you this morning. Jason Longhurst is here, Fire Prevention Officer with Pelham. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. Thanks for having us here today. This is great.
This is good. We've got lots to talk about. Chief, including a brand new fire station. This is exciting.
Really excited. Everybody in the town, especially the firefighters, we've been working on this for quite a few years to get council approval. It's a considerable amount of money, which is a tough decision for council to make, but they made it and we're moving forward. So all of us are very excited.
Okay, so I understand this is going to be happening in two phases.
Yeah, that's right. The problem we have is we have nowhere to put the trucks, and we have, for business continuity, we have to keep the trucks in service. So we're going to the old bays, stay in service currently. We're going to tear down the office side, build the new bays, move the trucks into the new bays, and then tear the old bays down and build the offices on that side. So it'll be flip the building.
All right, so sort of flip-flop the way it is now, but it's going to be at the same location.
Same location. We're currently about 8,500 square foot, and we're going to increase the footprint to about 14,000, about 50% increase in the footprint.
That's significant.
Well, we have a lot of deficiencies, health and safety deficiencies. We don't have a lot of room for staff. We have people sharing offices, so it's a little cramped, but the new building will be really good.
That's great. How old is the old building?
It was built in 82.
Okay.
So 44 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty rough.
Okay. And when did the campaign to get this new building start?
I think I started beating the drum about maybe two councils, so maybe 7-8 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all approved. And even though we've got a municipal election coming up, you're moving forward.
Yeah, for sure.
Get the shovels in the ground quick.
We have a very good council. Their mayor and council are really in tune with what's going on, and they support fire big time. They're really good to us, and they really understand the need for the expansion and for the fire department to keep current and move forward. So I thank them. They do a great job, and it's enjoyable.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the department. Do you have a mix of both paid and volunteer?
Well, we have our day staff. We have a training division, fire prevention, administration, myself, work full-time. And bylaw also works out of the fire station. And then our volunteer, our suppression staff, there's 97 through three stations, and they're all volunteer.
Okay. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is. It is quite incredible for the service they provide for the amount of money it costs. It's like pennies compared to, full-time services. Like, we're a small town, so we'd never be able to justify full-time. We don't need them, but in the cities they need them. They do a great job there, but they're really not. We were called volunteers years and years ago because that's basically what we did. Now they're really part-time because we do compensate them, and they do make a little bit of money through the year.
Mm-hmm.
But we have great staff. It's really good.
That's great. It's good to hear. All right, Jason, let's talk a little bit about the new carbon monoxide rules. These came in effect at the beginning of the year this year. What are they?
Yeah, as of January 1st, the fire code changed a little bit for the requirements of carbon monoxide. It used to be just one in your house. Now it's actually one on every floor outside of sleeping areas. So basically that the detectors are near where the carbon monoxide could be basically created and sets it off quicker. So it warns the people of the house.
Okay, so this is important for everyone who owns a house.
Yes, the new building code as of 24, if you had a house built after 2024, it has that in it already. Anything before 2024, there's a good chance that you don't have one on every floor.
Okay.
Unless you've been diligent in doing that. So it's definitely something to look at.
Right, right. And so, I don't know, putting feelers out there, do you think people know about this? Have they been adding the carbon monoxide detectors?
Word's getting out. We have put brochures out through the town. It's in a lot of our flyers. In all communities have basically put it out there for everybody. We do offer alarm checks, free alarm checks in your house, so people can call us at the fire hall and set up an appointment, and we'll come and assess what you need in your house to make sure you're safe.
Okay, and there's different kinds, right? Can you get one that does both? fire?
Yeah, so they have a dual unit now. It's basically, it does carbon monoxide and fire smoke. So it, and a lot of them have 10-year batteries now, so you don't have to change batteries every year.
Oh, that's great. Which is great. We love that.
Yeah,
that's good.
So it's good for everybody.
I know my smoke alarm's working because it's close to my kitchen, so I'll tell you that much. That one's working, but I haven't done the carbon monoxide one quite yet, so I've definitely got to make a stop.
Definitely something to look at. Yep,
get that going.
Sure.
Does that have to be hardwired, or what do I do?
No, they can be plugged in. Some people think that the original carbon monoxide were plugged into the wall, so everybody thinks it has to be low. But that's not true. Carbon monoxide is basically zero gravity, so it floats around. So it can be on the ceiling. So that's why they've come up with these dual units now. So you have one unit, change it, it's done. And the units are typically good for 10 years.
Okay. All right. So
and
that's
that dates on the back.
Right. So that's a good way to do it. Yep. Just switch it to one of those dual units. And then you said that you do the check. So if people aren't sure, you'll come by.
Yep. Same with changing batteries. We'll change the batteries. We don't want somebody to get up a ladder and fall and hurt themselves.
You'll get called there anyway,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, for sure. So, we offer that service, which is great. I do quite a few in town regularly, twice a year. They call me and go and change the batteries for them, check them out, make sure they're good. And we, since these flyers have been out, we've had, and the new laws have come in, we've done quite a few checks, actually. So it's been good.
I love it. Good to hear it.
5 to 10 a week.
Oh, wow. So that's good. A lot.
Yep.
Yeah, good to hear it. Let's talk about some of the other fire prevention pieces. Yeah. We are in the spring, a bit wet out there, but sometimes it gets dry. People like to burn old leaves and things like that. What kind of advice do you have when it comes to that?
In the town here, we do have a burning bylaw. We allow the rural properties to burn the farmers with their fruit trees and stuff like that. They just have to notify us of the day they're going to burn and make sure the wind conditions are good, and they got to keep it to a certain size and basically control it. We also have a backyard fire pit permit application, so you can have a fire pit in your backyard, just basically 3 feet by 3 feet, burn clean dry wood, no construction material. We have had people decide to burn couches, hot tubs. We have had that in town.
Did they decide to burn the hot tub, or did they end up burning the hot tub?
We don't. Didn't quite understand that one. Anyways, so yeah, it's $25 for the year, basically, and you can have a fire pit in your backyard as long as it's not near your neighbors and near anything combustible.
Okay, and so people are like, oh, I got to get a permit. Yeah. They're annoyed. They want to be able to do. But what are the reasons for that? Why is it important?
It's very important because then we can regulate where the pits are, and we know where they, like, who's burning what in town, and basically is safer for everybody.
Yeah, because you've seen it go wrong, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. They burn right beside the fence or the deck, or we've had a few different.
Yeah, and if I could add to that, it's in our budget. We have the smoke alarm program, which is funded by the monies that come in for the permits. So all the monies that we collect, we fold it back into the smoke alarm program. So when we go into a house, we inspect. If you're a little deficient, you need an extra smoke alarm, we will supply you that.
Okay.
Because it's funded through this program.
So that's important to know, too. It's not I'm doing air quotes, money grab.
Nope. The money goes right back into the community. Like the chief said, if we arrive at a house for a faulty alarm call at 3 o'clock in the morning, the crews have them on their truck, spare ones, and they'll put them in, make sure. And we will not leave a building unless it's safe for the people.
I think if
we put temporary ones up for the night so that they're safe.
That's great. And I do think there is something in those smoke detectors that when they go faulty, it's 3 a.m. I think there's something set on them, right?
I used to tell people that. They're the program to go off at 3 a.m. because everybody seems to say that. But it's not true, but it does seem like that, for sure.
It does really seem like that. Any other fire prevention keys you want to leave us with? We are getting into spring. We are getting into summer. Any thoughts there?
With that stuff, we sort of covered it with the outside burning. But one thing, unintended cooking is the major cause of kitchen fires and house fires. So basically, if you're going to cook it, stay with it. That's what a lot of people, we've had kettles go dry, and just a kettle with the black or the plastic handle was enough to smoke out, and it didn't even melt the whole handle. It just basically disintegrated the handle bit, but it smoked out the whole townhouse unit in one we had a few years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so just unattended cooking, don't leave it. If you're going to walk out of the room, turn it off.
Okay.
Yeah, and that includes barbecues. So we're getting into barbecue season. You should clean your barbecue, because some people don't, and then we end up getting grease fires. Or they're not properly maintained, we get propane leaks and so forth. So, or you put something on the barbecue and you leave it, and then you come back and your porch is on fire or whatever.
Ooh.
So again, unattended cooking, it includes barbecues, and they should be properly maintained.
I'm going to try to cook as little as possible. Thank you so much. It was great to see you guys. Appreciate all that you do for the community and for stopping by this morning.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yep. Joining us this morning, Pelham Fire Chief Bob Limburner and Fire Prevention Officer Jason Longhurst.